Paul Tonko, let's talk about climate accord in Paris.
Right.
What do you make of it? Are we going to save ourselves? If everybody does what they're supposed to there, will we save ourselves? Because every day we read about China and how people are choking.
Right.
And they can't send their kids to school and they're not doing much about it. And the president announced a while back, I know you want to have a chance to talk, but I'll just talk a little while longer. But the president announced a while back that he and China had made an agreement, but China wasn't going to honor that agreement for several more years. Is it all BS or what?
No, I think it's a good start. It's a foundation. 190 nations coming together in Paris to address what is climate danger. And I think just looking at this record month of December and the many record months this calendar year, 2015, in terms of weather measurement and where we've been off the charts, we probably have gone now deepest into the month of December from any years of record keeping.
Too late? Are we?
No, I think it's getting late, but I think we still have time to turn what is the human impact on climate change and climate danger around. And so I think this gathering in Paris acknowledged that 190 nations, huge economies out there, individual economies that come together in an international economy sense, are saying that we have to be better stewards of the environment. And I do know that when this issue is raised in the House of Representatives, many people talk about us putting ourselves in a competitive disadvantage. So that when we have 190 partners saying we will go through these restrictions, we will go through this carbon emission reduction effort with you, it's a good message. Before the talks were held in Paris, just weeks before, I had put together an event in Washington as a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, encouraging guests to come by and talk about their insights for climate change. And one of the representatives was a government leader from the Netherlands. And she spoke about, you know, the sea level impact that they're having already. It's already a detrimental situation. And they were imploring that people come together and resolve some of these concerns. They said our only solution is to build higher dikes, and that does not work for their economy.
Remember the little girl with her finger.
Yeah, you know, and she's saying this just is not the answer, and that it's economic ruination if we don't speak to this. I also know that in visits that we've had in our office in Washington from members like those of the European Union, they were looking at where the giant is. And the giant in their definition is the United States of America.
And that brings me to the next question. What has to happen here? Can the Republicans in the Congress, some of whom really want to stop this thing and these agreements, can they stop it? Or can the president just move ahead based on his authority that has already been given to him by the Congress?
Well, it's interesting. In this budget just completed and signed now by the president days ago, there were efforts in the Republican plan to undo the responsiveness of the United States to the Paris outcome. And those poison pens were discarded from the final plan. So that I think we have opportunities here to go forward. We have the Clean Power Plan that addresses emissions from our power plants. And that's a major step forward. It will allow us to engage one of the largest contributors of carbon to the environment, to the surroundings, and have that addressed in a way that's a logical plan. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, will work with these plants. They will work with the state governments to make things happen. And there will be ways to tether the outcomes so that there's not this huge impact to some of the regions of the country that are most tied to polluting plants. So we have great hope here that we can go forward with a presidential, with the president's administration giving the tools that they need, and to work now with that accord, that agreement, so that other nations will be following likewise. You know, you had mentioned China and the impact in China. You know, they can't afford to delay, you know, and with their population growing as such, with transportation growing as it is, there's a inspired human caused impact here to carbon emission that has got to be turned around. So I think the 190 nations coming together with one voice is a start. And I think we will use that foundation from which to further build.
So what is the motivator for U.S. corporations to go along with it? I mean, some, like the energy corporations, if you can't beat them, join them, as the old saying goes, are saying, okay, you know, we'll make some money by doing solar and doing some of these other things. Is that what it is? Or is it, I mean, some of these guys are very greedy.
Right. There is a greed factor out there, but, you know, I think most of the community is corporate community is understanding that something has to give here because they see this. They see what's happening in other areas of the world. And
they should think about their grandchildren.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what it's about. It's about making certain that the water we drink and that the air we breathe is as clean, if not cleaner, as it's handed to the next generation, our children and grandchildren. And we can clean that up. That's the, you know, there's innovation that has come about, which grows jobs. You know, this whole this approach that if you're a strong steward of the environment, you're against economic development and recovery is false. There is absolutely no basis to that sort of thinking. And what's true is that as we develop these solutions, these technical solutions to cleaning up the air, we're growing jobs not yet on the radar screen.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so it creates a win-win situation, which is a powerful statement. And just the fact that, you know, people had made a statement a decade ago, years ago, and suggest that there's no human impact to this phenomenon of climate change or climate danger, now finds them backpedaling. Their rigidity, their recalcitrance to a go-forward is now being attacked, I believe, by public sentiment, where most opinion surveys will show that the public believes there's something happening with Mother Nature that's addressed by climate change, and that a growing number of people believe that we have opportunity to control our behavior to reduce that carbon emission.
Do you ever get a chance, Paul Tonko, to sit down, and we only have a minute to answer this, with some of the guys on the other side of the aisle who believe the opposite of what you believe? I think it's all a bunch of hooey. And truly, put a lie detector on their arm, and they say, no, it's all a bunch of hooey, and you'd have a straight line saying that they were telling the truth. Do you ever get a chance to talk to those people?
Yeah, I do. And I tell them, look, I said, their rationale is that throughout history, we have seen these fluctuations, exactly, these ebbs and flows. And I said, but 97% of the scientist community now is saying that something is happening, that this vortex is higher and stronger than ever before. In fact, many are suggesting it's that vortex impact that is driving the unusual weather pattern in the Northeast this season. And when you talk to them, you know, if that rigidity is still there, I try to address it as just an innovation economy. It's not a bad thing to grow jobs. And guess what? If we clean the air and clean the water in the process, isn't that a good thing? And so I try to address it through the eyes of their children, being
exactly.
more compassionate
exactly.
to the next generations, and through any book that you pick up that guides you. I don't care if it's the Quran or the Torah or the Bible. We're asked to be sound stewards of the environment. So if there are believers there that are guided by the book, I just appeal to them that way also.
Well, Tonko, always wonderful to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We just think you're great. Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, who got into office in January 3rd, 2009. Seems like yesterday. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.